ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
We wanted to give you the only thing we're really good at, which is talking to each other. Just in case our voices in your head are a welcome distraction from holiday things or a beautiful enhancement of your holiday celebration.
We really do hope that you're doing well. This episode is the third and final act in our celebration of Stephen Sondheim. The first two, as well as a bunch of other new episodes, are up on our Patreon. And if you haven't heard it yet, we hope you enjoy Joey's new extended theme song.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
I've been thinking about getting older, and I've been worried about losing touch, and it gets lonesome hearing my feelings. But then I listen to Nick and Muriel, and I don't care so much, 'cause I know that all my friends are lovely, and I know that if we meet, I'll say the same about you. Someday we all pass, and the ones behind will raise a glass, and they'll cheers and have a laugh, looking back at what we used to do.
So for act three of this Sondheim party, we had to take a break.
Like, really?
Lot of hours of not talking to each other about Stephen Sondheim. And then we had to pour a couple drinks and roll a couple of spliffs. And here we are. We're going to do act three.
I can't wait. Nick's doing his party hand, which you can't see, which is like,
can you hear the fingers slapping?
He's just like doing a little bit of like, and then. And then
I'm talking and then. With my hand.
I also,
points.
For anybody who really is keeping score, listen, I've had the most incredible day with this little kitten we're fostering. Mm-hmm. And as of now, we're like, I'm literally yelling and rocking back and forth. And the cat is just passed out in my lap.
Just purring.
He's just purring and chilling and giving me ringworm. It's great.
Okay. So for act three, we're going to play a little game.
I'm so excited.
We did this a long time ago, mm-hmm. where I would play quick little snippets of oldie songs and to see if you could identify them sort of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that with Sondheim songs.
I am feeling like you are really, like, this is my Christmas present. I always want Nick to challenge me on stuff. Now I'm, like, insecure because I'm worried. I haven't listened to Sondheim in a really long time.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, like, I did compulsively for years, yeah. and then I just stopped.
Well, that's the same thing with all your oldies.
Yeah, right.
It's not like you've listened to oldies.
Maybe it's in the bones. Just, I don't know what this is going to bring
just
out.
Somewhere in there.
But I'm so excited, and I feel mm-hmm. like you're being really nice to me today.
I definitely am. So I put together a list of songs. They're all from different Sondheim scores. Mm-hmm. Some of the musicals are ones we've mentioned in the first two parts of this mm-hmm. Sondheim party saga, and some of them are not.
Okay.
But I tried to pick all songs that we haven't really mentioned so far.
Okay.
So just to try to mix things up, just try to get a, you know, an idea of where you're at. Okay, so we're just gonna start, and we're gonna see how this goes. Are you ready to party?
I'm ready.
Does that mean anything to
yeah.
you?
Oh my God, that's going to drive me insane.
Do you want
it's not Pacific Overtures, is it?
Do you want me to say?
No, I want you to play another clip.
Okay, I'm gonna move forward in the song. We're going to see what you got.
Cough for hours, maintaining their poise.
Oh, yeah. This is Little Night Music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a boring song, but it's from Little Night Music.
What? I like this song.
It's from the second act.
No, it's not. I like this song. Here's another clip. This song rocks.
Oh, no, that's
grumbling and rumbling in wagons.
I know you like this song. So this is like the one that they added to like the score at the very end.
Uh-huh.
And it's the daughter of the main lady, right? Who's like, no, 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 what a wonderful life. It's like the reprise of Craxton the Plaster. Yeah, nah, nah.
Oh, that's what I thought I was choosing. Oh, damn it. Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's like they added it later as like a beautiful song for that one.
Right, because this one's called The Glamorous Life.
Yeah, that's.
So I thought I was picking It Must Be a Glamorous Life.
No. This is like the answer to that. That's the daughter, man. Right?
Okay. Well, that's, man, this is not going to bode well. Maybe I picked whack ass songs.
Yeah, but that's fine because I figured it out, but it was making me insane. I was like, oh man, that's a weird one. Because it's like, it's like an addendum. It's like not even when they release the score, it's the thing. It's like if there's 11 tracks, it's the 12th track.
Okay, little miss freaking scholar over here. All right, here we go. Let's see if you get this one.
Can you play just like the inside of the song? Because the intros are all really weird.
Okay, it's not
gonna like.
Work. Okay, here I'll just play a random
like a
part.
Piece of the inside here. New complication. The da 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 a punk comedy tonight, and that's from Forum, right?
Yes, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum,
which is weird because that was not one of the ones I told you I knew.
I know. Yeah, I know, but I figured you knew that one.
Well, I know that one.
That would have been one of the only ones I would be able to do. Okay, so that's the opening number.
Okay,
and that song's pretty funny
because like the horn thing, it's like dun, dun, dun. It's like that's in like six Company songs. Like when you do the intros to these songs, it's not the same as like
the opening notes to like my girl, my
right?
Girl.
Exactly, because it's all like get your attention, beep, pop, ba-da, you know.
Okay, great. So, how do you feel about a funny way to the Forum, or whatever? A funny thing happened. On
I just never got into it. Some people like love that show. Yeah. I think that's no diss. I just kind of was like. Boring.
Right, here we go.
But I try again.
It's pretty. I like that.
I'm not judgy. I just like. I literally
it's
either
like
it or I
love.
Don't like it.
Yeah,
and if
right.
I don't like it, I just won't listen to it.
All right, here we go.
I'm gonna make you a star.
Ready or not, shh. Here comes Mama. Mama's talking loud. Mom, it's Rose's turn from Gypsy, which he wrote but did not compose.
Oh, I
except
have this,
for that one.
I have this one as Everything's Coming Up, Roses. Is that the same thing?
No.
I'm going to build a whole new app.
Hold on. It sounds like this.
It's going to be here starting now. Honey, everything's coming up, Roses.
Okay, because I have
a
different...
Well, actually, you know what's trippy?
What?
That definitely could be Everything's Coming Up Roses.
Yeah.
But that's also in the reprise.
That's probably what it is, because this is Rose's turn.
I made you, and you want to know why? You want to know what I did it for? Because I was born too soon, and I started too late, that's why.
Right, they all start with monologues and shit, you know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah, you can do that, but like, she's mad, and she's doing a monologue.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's three songs like that, but then she's like, Mama's talking loud, Mama doesn't care. You know, like, there's all these, like,
so what's hits. Up? What's up with Gypsy, and what's up with Rose? Break it down for me.
Well, I'll say a couple things.
Okay.
One thing is, Gypsy's a great show, but... Mm. And he was the lyricist.
Yeah.
Sondheim was a lyricist, but he didn't do any of the compositions.
Yeah.
But I think he actually did do Rose's Turn, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think he did compose Rose's Turn.
Which is like the great song of that musical, right?
Well, no. I mean, like, there's lots of more popular songs.
Oh,
like,
really?
You can't play Rose's Turn on the radio, right? So Rose's Turn is like...
It's not a banger.
No. I mean, it's like a super schizophrenic, like, you know, Mama's gotta let go. You know, like it starts with her doing a speech and she's really mad.
And she's mad at her daughter?
Well, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've listened to this score, but...
Yeah.
Or like seen the show. Oh, if you want a huge treat and you're... into musical theater and this is not a torture for you right now. So Bernadette Peters did, oh, there's so much about this. So the original
go off queen
person who, the person who originated Rose,
Ethel Merman,
was Ethel Merman. And Sana, Ethel Merman was really big at the time. She was huge, famous. Right? Really famous. And why'd you say that?
Well, because you said she's
Merman
really
was
big
super
at the time.
Fat. Is that what you're talking
well,
about?
Well, I was just clarifying. Okay, it was not
Ethel
a correction.
Merman
it was just
famous.
It was just a little, you know, sometimes I have to be the bumpers in your bowling alley, the gutters.
I
you
do
know?
Need
just,
bumpers in my bowling alley. You know? Now, okay, so Ethel Merman was really famous at the time. Mm-hmm. And she she was a huge diva. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she would do is, well, actually, I also want to add that like Ethel Merman at the time was one of the only people who could really project. So uh-huh. like in these Broadway houses before they were like mic'd up at the time, people like Ethel Merman were huge because like if Ethel Merman starts singing, you're like, yeah. you know, like you can hear her from two blocks away yeah. without a mic. Right. And so she's loud. And that's like kind of a, one of her major amazing qualities. Right.
Yes.
And then on top of that, she would be like, once she learned a show, uh-huh. she would refuse to do any changes.
Okay.
So she would say, the show's set.
Yeah.
And they would be like, well, we're working on the show still. And she'd be like, no, I'm not going to do it. yeah. So like she would be in these constant fights with Sondheim and be like, we're revising this. And she yeah. says, no, I'm not going to do it. And so his his nickname for her
yeah.
was the talking dog. Because he was just like, she's just loud. She can talk. She's dumb. She doesn't understand changes. Yeah, like, he was like, really like, fuck Ethel Merman, uh-huh. which I just thought was really funny. Okay. You know, so yeah. that's his problem. So she did the original part, but there was a revival like later
yeah.
in time. Bernadette Peters did Mama.
Yeah.
And of course, Bernadette Peters is like Sondheim's muse, right? Like she's in a lot, like so many of his shows and
yeah.
you know, he loves her so much, right?
Right.
So Bernadette Peters plays Mama and she's incredible and she won a Tony for this performance.
Yeah.
And there's a, you can find like the Tony winning performances on a given year in these, like archived recordings. You can just find them on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah.
But like if you find the year that she reprised that role.
Yeah.
She was so sick
uh-huh.
that she couldn't speak. She had horrible laryngitis.
Oh,
and I
God.
Believe she had pneumonia.
Uh-huh.
And she was very, very ill. But she won the Tony and then she was supposed to do this televised performance.
Where she performs a song as a part of the Tony Awards.
Right. And that song
yeah.
was Rose's Turn.
Yeah.
So that's the finale, you know, the mm-hmm. crazy thing. And she had to get steroids injected straight into her vocal cords before she went out on stage. So in order to get the swelling down enough that mm-hmm. she could make it work. And when you hear it, you can hear how ragged it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, she was sick.
Yeah.
And she went out there and destroyed and she's yeah, yeah. crazy like
so you, what's the story of Gypsy? Just give us the quick and dirty. No one will hold you to it if you're not perfect.
It's like basically there's a big stage mom. Her name is Rose and she has two daughters mm-hmm. and one of them's lame and one of them's cool, and the cool one like gets more and more famous mm-hmm. as Rose is doing this thing, and mm-hmm. Gypsy is the one that's like not as good as her sister. But the sister ends up running away with some guy mm-hmm. and all Mama has left is Gypsy.
Mm.
And so Gypsy's trying to get Gypsy to be a star. And so
right.
she's doing all these different things and she has like a, like she's a single mom, but
yeah.
then she ends up hooking up with this other guy and they have a great song. But basically at the end, Gypsy kind of makes it big,
yeah.
like doing cabaret, but then Mama comes to see Gypsy's performance and it's like in like essentially a strip club.
Uh-huh.
And so now she's like, basically the end is her fate, like failing in her own eyes, like Mama,
yeah.
right?
Because
uh-huh. Mama wants to be a star, so Mama is going to be the worst stage mom in the entire world.
Right.
And then as her kids kind of like decide, like, I don't need you anymore, yeah, you know, she has less and less. And at the end, she sings this song. It's Rose's Turn. And it's like a kind of like montage of all of these songs that she sung before. And she mm-hmm. sings it. And then she just gets super dark.
Yeah.
And she's like...
You ain't,
but boys, I got it. She's, yeah. Some people not it and make it pay. Some people can't even get it away. I got, and I'm gonna spread it all around. You either have it or you ain't. Right? She's yeah. like, talk. She's like, now she's doing. She's like, fine, you want to be a stripper? I'll yeah. be a stripper. And she's like, ready or not, shh, here comes Mama. Mama's talking loud. Mama. Like, so she's doing all of her things.
Right.
And she's trying to act like, you know, she doesn't care. And she's like, what does it get you? You know, she gets into this place. It's like, one quick step as each of them leaves you. She starts singing about how, like, everyone's left her in this really dark, raspy voice.
Right. It's kind of like her her insecurity coming through. Or
yeah.
something.
And
it's
like
her, the dark thoughts are starting to creep in.
Right. And like when Bernadette Peters does it, her eyes turn black. When yeah. they say that happens, it's yeah. crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had a dream. I dreamed it for you. June, and if it wasn't for me, where would you be, Miss Rip Gypsy Rosalie? Then she's like, when is it gonna be my turn? Can I get a dream for myself? Gangway world, get off of my runway. Something. I didn't get yeah. all the lyrics or whatever. This time, boys, I'm taking the vows and everything's coming up rose. And it's like really yeah, yeah. dissonant. There's uh-huh. all these like, because it's supposed to be this triumphant thing for her.
Right.
But like the horn section is playing all these weird minor chords and it's just really creepy.
Right.
It's like,
the wheels are just coming off.
Right. She's having a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
I did an audition one time uh-huh. and somebody was like, I know you. I've seen you before. And they had seen me do some live shows. And he's yeah. like, I know who you are. You're the girl who should be doing Rose's Turn from Gypsy.
Oh, what? That's a good ass compliment.
I know. Well, you'd think so. In LA, that could be a bird.
Good call.
It really could be a yeah. big bird, but he was like, yeah. yeah, that's you. So he could be calling me.
I know you. You're the one who should be the homeless person from
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, right. Hilarious. Okay, yeah. That shit is sick, though. All right, here we go. Let's see about this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear your attention, please.
Nice.
God, That's Good. That is in Sweeney
Todd.
No.
It's you were singing it right. It's Pirelli's Miracle Elixir.
See, this is what I'm saying about playing the beginning, though. It's the same exact beginning.
But I think
as
you did.
God, That's
but
Good.
I thought you sung it right. You were like, ladies
I
and gentlemen.
I did. It's the same exact beginning to God, That's Good. Because it's all reprisal.
Oh,
so you play
okay.
the beginning.
All right, okay.
The beginning is going to be eight different songs.
Okay, all right.
Like, play the beginning
right.
of God, That's Good.
No, I'm sure it's
no,
the same.
No, just do it.
Well, it's going to take me a second to get to it, Muriel. Quit bossing me around. I'm sure you're right. Okay, are they literally the same? God, That's Good. Ladies and gentlemen, doesn't sound the exact same.
Wait. And how many songs start with that?
Okay, there's too many.
Go ahead. Put it out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Okay, fine. You're right.
And that reprise of the dun 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 that starts like eight songs on Sweeney Todd. So if you start with the beginning like that, right,
this is the happy version.
Yeah,
the Pirelli's right. Miracle Elixir. This shit is pretty clowning.
Yeah. So Pirelli. So this is from Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
The first one Nick played yeah. was for Pirelli's Miracle Elixir. So
yeah.
there's a guy who's selling. Hair tonic, and it's
he's not a guy. He's an incredibly realistic, not stereotypical or exaggerated Italian character.
Right. Okay. So Mr. Pirelli is
as
not exaggerated at all.
Get.
right? He sells these like tonics. So it's like back in the day when snake oil salesmen were around, right? So they sell you whatever tonic or thing that usually is just cocaine and water and some arsenic, right? So like that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he has a little boy who's a barker. So the little boy will go around and drum up.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Right. And so the storyline for this is that Pirelli decides, like, I will, he says, you know, like, I have this miracle elixir. It will make your hair grow back. And he uses the boy as an example, and it's all like a fake ass thing, right?
Yeah.
But Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett are hanging out in the crowd, and they're saying how it's like, it smells like piss.
Yeah.
That the elixir smells like piss. It's piss mixed with ink. That's what they keep saying. And people kind of hear it, you know, and they like weave it into their song, right?
Yeah.
And so he decides to really wow the crowd. He is going to do a shave and a haircut
competition.
Like in a competition.
A contest, yeah.
Right. So they're sitting there, and he's like, anyone who wants to compete with me, the first thing he does is, because barbers used to pull teeth, so the first thing he does is pull the tooth, right?
Yeah.
And he says, I can pull a tooth harder than anyone else. And he does. And then he goes, now, shaving a haircut, who thinks they can beat me?
Yeah.
And Sweeney Todd volunteers. And
because he's fresh back into town after getting off of the prison camp thing and is trying to make a name for himself so he can get some business.
Right. And he is the best.
Yeah.
And he knows Pirelli.
Mm-hmm. And Pirelli knows him.
And Pirelli knows him. So he's like, you know, fuck Pirelli. I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
And so he goes out and they compete. And Sweeney Todd wins by a mile. Right.
Well, there's a very funny musical moment, too, where Pirelli is doing all these like, he's singing like all long and beautiful about how he's getting ready
to shave the face with none of the charm. You lose the grace. And
then Sweetheart's like already done shaving and wins the contest. Like in the scope of Muriel singing that little thing, he like does the, he wins.
Right. So in the musical, Sweeney Todd wins. The Pirelli gets mad, kicks the boy out, but they're kind of hanging. And then Sweeney Todd murders Pirelli.
He's the first person he murders,
right?
Yeah, because
Pirelli says, I know who you are. You're Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
You're Benjamin Barker, right?
Right,
who's
right.
The original guy, and he's going under the name Sweeney Todd. And this is, you know, he murders him so the guy can't tell a secret.
Right.
But then you have this little boy running around who used to be the Barker. And so Mrs. Lovett, who also is making pies out of human beings, finds this little boy, takes him under her wing, and he becomes her Barker.
Right.
And so when she starts selling these human pies, he reprises his line with Pirelli, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Right. With selling her meat pies.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know, but he has a very pivotal role in this show.
It's so good. Okay, Muriel, I want to test you to see how well you know the lyrics to one of the greatest songs in musical theater history. It's from Sweeney Todd. It's called A Little Priest.
Okay.
Which is basically, I'll try to set it up, what this song is. It's basically a word game that Mrs. Lovett, who makes the meat pies, is having with Sweeney Todd. And it's called A Little Priest because they're going to be killing all these people and turning them into meat pies, right?
Okay.
So Sweeney Todd gets his revenge by wiping out all these innocents because they're a part of a greater evil, which is society. And Mrs. Lovett is winning because she's going to turn those human bodies into delicious meat pies and make money.
And one reason why this is such a great challenge is this song is like 8 minutes long.
And
I'm not going to get there.
And
so
it's
don't worry.
Just like
it's just
word
puns.
Games and puns and everything. So do you want me to start you off to get you in the,
can I start after the introduction?
Okay, yeah. So at this point, they're having a hypothetical where she's serving him fake meat pies, right, with different types of people inside the pie.
Right. And this is the bulk of the entire song.
Okay, yeah, go for it, Muriel. And if you get stuck, I'll kind of help you along the way.
Okay, so he goes, what is that? Okay, and he goes, it's priest. Have a little priest. Is it really good? No, it's too good, at least.
Then again, they don't commit sins of the flesh.
So it's pretty fresh.
Awful lot of fat.
The only where he sat.
Haven't you got poet or something like that?
No, you see, the trouble with poet is how do you know it's deceased? Try the priest.
Okay, great. So we're going to keep doing this. So just so everyone knows.
Oh, you're being Sweeney Todd. Okay.
I'll be Sweeney Todd, and I have the book in front of me. So okay. This is not impressive on my part. We'll see if you are able to do it well. Okay. Okay. And then they talk for a little bit, and then you come in with lawyers rather nice.
Lawyers rather nice.
If it's for a price.
But it's pretty good. Oh, fuck. Hold on.
Order
something else, though, to follow, because no one can swallow it twice.
Anything that's lean.
Well, if you're British and royal, you might enjoy Royal Marine. Anyway, it's clean.
Nice.
Though, of course, it tastes of wherever it's been.
Is that squire on the fire?
Mercy, no, sir. Look closer. You'll notice it's grosser.
It's thicker. More like vicar.
No, it has to be grosser. It's green.
Then I don't know how this part goes, but it's like the history of the... How's the tune change here?
The history of
the world, my love.
Oh, Mr. Todd, do Mr. Todd, what does it tell?
Hold on, okay, well, we're doing pretty good. Hold on, let's get back on track here. Okay, how about this one? I mean, we can try to do the like super hard one. Okay, ready? So you lead it off with... you say, now let me see, we've got Tinker.
Oh, fuck.
Let's see if we can do this part.
Now let me see, we've got Tinker.
Something pinker.
Taylor.
Something paler. Butler.
Butler.
Something subtler.
Locksmith.
And that's where T gets stuck. Then you say, all right, let's try to get back to this line. Okay, so you say lovely bit of clerk.
Lovely bit of clerk.
Maybe for a lark.
That's why you say it cockney. Lovely bit of clock.
Maybe for a lark.
Then again, they're sweep. If you like it cheap and you like a dog.
Nice.
Try the financier.
Yes.
Peak of his career.
That looks pretty rank.
It's a bank cashier.
Last one really. Oh, that's you.
Last one that we sold. Wasn't quite so old.
Have you any beetle?
Next week, so I'm told. Beetle isn't bad till you smell it and... Wait.
Yeah, that's right.
Beetle isn't bad till you smell it and know that about a deceased stick with priest.
Nice, Muriel, nailing it. That was very good. That was super impressive.
I like what you're doing to me right now.
As any good husband should be able to handle.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Moving along.
Nikki, you're so great. I love you.
Why? You love me? Oh, that's tight. Okay, good. Now let's choose some songs about people who are miserable. Okay, how about this one?
Show us some karate.
No.
Rob,
no, come like on. Coffee, I want some karate. I got it, I got it, I got
okay,
it.
I know, what is it?
It's the little things you do together, that make perfect relationships. So that's from Company.
Yes.
And this is a really funny thing. If you've ever been in a house, it's a little bit like Get Out. You know that movie Get Out? If you've ever been in a house with two people who are kind of classy, but then they're like, okay,
yeah,
we're going to do something that has a lot of potential for disaster. Watch us. And so the guy is like, show me karate. I want to know how my money's been wasted.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, I'm doing this thing. So they start doing these karate moves. And Bobby, who we've talked about in the last episode,
yeah,
he's freaked out because he's standing there and he's like, don't fight each other. And they're like, no, no, I'm going to show him because I hate him. And yeah, he wants me to show him because I'm quote unquote wasting his money.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then they get into these horrible, like they're physically fighting each other, but trying to act like it's like this normal classy yeah thing.
Right. And meanwhile, the whole subtext is that Bobby really should get married.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like hanging out
he's
with his
like,
married
please,
couple.
For God's sake, I do not want to do this pageantry.
Well, I've got the lyrics in front of me, so it's not like I'm gonna be able to impress, but some of these lyrics are really great in this song.
Yeah,
so sing that beginning part again, Mira. It's the little things you
okay
do.
He goes, yeah, it's the little things you do together, that make perfect relationships,
the hobbies you pursue together, savings you accrue together, looks you misconstrue together, that make marriage a joy. It's the things that you, it's the little things you share together, swear together, wear together, that make
Perfect relationships the concerts you enjoy together, neighbors you annoy together, children you destroy together, that keep marriage intact. It's not so hard to be married when two maneuver as one. It's not so hard to be married, and Jesus Christ, is it fun. It's sharing little winks together, drinks together, kinks together, that make marriage a joy. It's bargains that you shop together, cigarettes you stop together, do something, clothing that you swap together, that make perfect relationships.
I like it. I like how so many of these lyrics have to do with sharing each other's clothes.
Yeah, anyways, the whole song ends up to the there's like two big punchlines in that song. One is she's like, marriage is easy. I've done it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, right.
And then the other one is, you know, like shouting till you're hoarse together, getting a divorce together.
Yeah.
That make perfect relationships. Hilarious. That song is so good. All right, next one.
The most beautiful song.
Stop. That's Maria.
Mm-hmm.
From West Side Story.
Yes.
The most beautiful sound in the world in a single word. Maria, 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 Maria. I just met a girl named Maria. And suddenly that sound will never be the same to me. Okay, I'm so excited. Guess
so
what, guys?
Good.
Who's going to be watching Steven Spielberg's West Side Story?
I know. I was going to say, when I heard Steven Spielberg was making West Side Story, I was like, he needs to be arrested. This is a terrible idea. Like, we have to boycott this movie. Then I saw the previews, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go see that.
It's epic. You know, and what's sick about the previews?
What?
They don't show, for like the first one,
yeah,
they didn't show any singing. They showed dancing,
yeah,
not to music. And they didn't show any singing. Now they're kind of like,
yeah,
letting it out of the bag. But I was like, that's bold as fuck. Is it not going to be a musical?
Well, in this book that I read, Sondheim is saying what was so incredible about West Side Story was that it was the first time that choreography really moved plot forward. And
oh,
drama
interesting.
Was actually via choreography.
Yeah.
Because he took this job. He got offered to write the lyrics for West Side Story and he didn't want to do it. And Hammerstein was like, bro, just take the job.
Yeah,
like, you're
right.
New on the scene.
Yeah.
You're going to learn a lot. You're going to work with all these amazing people, but you're going to turn down because you also want
to
do the music for it. Because
he
wasn't hired
music.
As a composer.
Yeah.
And also he wanted to be like edgier and more interesting and complex. So his big criticisms of this show is that it's basically the songs that characters are singing are the not the types of songs that those characters would actually sing.
So I want to say,
yeah,
the other big criticism of this, and maybe it's a parallel criticism,
yeah,
is that he was writing lyrics for like upper middle class white people.
Right.
And that's what he says.
Right.
Is
that's
that like
right.
everything that he wrote, not just that, like, I don't know if his songs were not edgy enough,
yeah,
but for him, he was like, my mistake is I came in hard and I was really focused on like lyricism and wordplay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't focused on the fact that these characters would never sing those songs.
Right.
And to his credit or detriment, he never wrote another. I mean, I think he wrote Pacific Overtures, but other than that, he didn't really ever write for people who weren't like
white.
Of his ilk.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's something that was familiar to him.
Yeah.
But I do think like on some level I'm more into people who are like, I'm only good at writing my own voice,
yeah,
or like whatever's familiar to me.
Yeah.
Just do that. It's more annoying to hear people who can't write in another voice but have the hubris to think they can.
Yeah, right.
And then just constantly try to do it. That's like really like, oh, stab you in the eye. Like that,
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't mind that he's like, this is what I write.
Yeah.
He's like, I couldn't write for Maria.
Yeah.
And I couldn't write for Tony.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'm never gonna try that again. That was awkward. You know, but he super feels that way.
Yeah, right. Hilarious. All right, how about this one, Muriel?
Hard with the intros.
It takes a lot of men to make a gun.
Oh, this is a sad
hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard with these ones. I'm like saying, like, the intros are all so similar. in this weird way. It's like
yeah,
vamping like rhythmless like oboes. yeah, that's assassins. A lot of assassins sound that way. Okay, I love people who love assassins, but man, that's that score. If you want to vibe and clean your house and listen to Assassins, just get ready to keep trying to adjust the volume. Because it's just like, oh my God, this guy's yelling again. Jesus.
Okay, I've learned my lesson. Now I'm going, I started this song somewhere in the middle. Okay. And okay. We're just going to press play. I'm so sorry for continuing to do that.
No, you don't.
It's just technically, it's so much easier because I don't have to turn the volume up and down all this shit. Okay, here we go.
Nothing seems to fit me right.
That's Sunday in the Park with George.
Yes.
Nothing seems to fit me right. The less I wear, the more I something. Just like, and then he's in the background going, blue, 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 to the red, to the red, to the blue. Just like, the Follies, George.
Hilarious. Do you remember the name of the song?
It is. Is it The Follies?
No. Here, I'll play another little snippet, see if some of the lyrics come to you.
And he burns you with his eyes.
I got it.
And he burns you with his eyes. They don't live forever.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it's called Color and Light. I guess that's the least.
Oh my God, though. But it's like, and blue and color and light. Yeah, yeah. Right. That I did mess up by not getting that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in some ways, the name of this actual song is the least interesting thing. What you're doing is like singing it and being able to put it in context, all of which is very impressive and cool.
Oh my God, I'm getting so gassed up today. This is the best.
All right, let's see what we got
understand.
Here.
This is so good.
All right, ready?
Mm-hmm. All friends do tend to
this is merrily, we roll along.
Mm-hmm.
Old friends do become much better. Never knew we would get up by now. See, old friends, why do we be old friends? I'm making up all
no,
the lyrics.
No, keep going. Oh, I mean, I'm
like, it is that, basically. It's just about old friends do become. Yeah, it's basically like Merrily We Roll Along.
Yeah.
Really fun show. It's about three people who came up as kids and then became really disillusioned.
Came up in what sense?
Like into writing hit musicals together.
Oh, it's about musical theater writers. Yeah. Oh.
And so they came up writing big hit musicals together, and then they kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
And they lose their friendship. And so there's a lot of it's kind of a cool thing. It's like it starts with people growing up, getting to the peak of where they are, and then to get back to their true selves and their core selves.
Yeah.
They have to kind of come back to being kids. So
yeah.
The original Broadway cast had very young people playing the parts, and then they had to dress up and pretend to be older in the center and then go back to being kids at the end, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's a good song. It's like, this song is like, hey, old friends, how do we stay old friends? And they're saying this, but they're like, 17. So it's one of those things that high schools love.
Merrily We Roll Along was his first big flop,
which I think is dumb because I think it's better. Like, there's lots of good hummable songs in this one. There's a few flops that he had, and this one to me is like the most successful.
He had some things that weren't super super popular, but this was his flop.
Oh, flop meaning like it was hyped up to be big and it didn't work. It was off of Sweeney Todd, right?
I can't remember what it was off of, but he was like at the top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out with this musical. People hate it. Critics are really cruel to him about it. He feels like they're being so cruel about it that he was like, was everyone just waiting in the wings to like shit on me? You know, he felt really hurt by it. It was like enough to turn him away from the business. And that's when he said, oh, I'm actually going to go, I'm leaving musical theater. I'm going to go make video games. Right. And then he ended up not leaving musical theater. And then his one out of this was Sunday in the Park with George, which he won the damn Pulitzer for.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? But you're a fan. You like Merrily We Roll.
I like it. I think it's really good. Mm-hmm. I think it's very fun. I like listening to it. I think it has really good songs. How did you get here from there, Mr. Shepherd? I smoked one joint. Now I'm singing like literally an octave lower. How did you get here from there, Mr. Shepherd?
What's the octave it should be in?
It's like, how did you get there from here, Mr. Shepherd?
What's that song about?
It's just like a bunch of people, like young people asking. And merrily we roll along like, how did you get to this amazing point? And he's like, actually, I was a child once too. And then he talks about that. Okay. Like in the beginning.
Yeah, that show sucks.
I love it.
Okay, here we go. Next one.
Okay.
And for all that I know, she's already dead.
Yeah. Off.
What is it?
Into the Woods. This is Into the Woods Red Riding Hood song, right? Uh-huh. So, for all that you know, she's already dead. Well, this is in the intro, basically.
It's like 12 minutes long.
Yeah,
or
right. Well, it's not her song. It's 12 minutes long.
Right.
This is Into the Woods.
Yes.
This is Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, the opening
She comes
number.
Into the bakery. She's like, okay, I have my grandma's sick in bed and I'm trying to help her. Yeah. And they're like, okay, well, pick what you need. And she goes, okay, well, I'll have a sticky bun and a few of those pies, please. So she like orders all this stuff from the window.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I kind of hate to ask it, but do you have a basket?
Right.
So she makes like, she walked in being like, I'm very poor and my grandma's very sick.
Yeah.
And they're like, have a loaf of bread and pick out the one you want. She has like 18 pies and all these like cookies and she gets it. And then she asks for a basket because it's too much stuff for her to carry alone. And then
stop rubbing your eye.
No.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
No.
I'm going to shoot you with a rubber
band.
You can't
band. Stop me because you're
I'm
lazy.
I'm going to hit you with a thing. What if I slap you in the leg?
Okay.
I used her sandal and slapped her in the... Get
I
off!
I hit the other one. It wasn't even the same eye, dude.
I was still rubbing your eye.
All right. Yeah. The cat family got up. Okay. He was like, over it.
I feel like Little Red Riding Hood is hilarious in Into the Woods.
She's so funny. She's super sassy. Oh, baby, are you tired? We've just been yelling. She's very sassy.
Yeah.
I love her so much. And in this one, she's just like, whatever. Into the woods, I'm out of I have 12 pies and I don't know. Like, it's great.
Very good, man. Now I want you to play. Now I want the next casting agent to be like, I know you. You're the one who should play the elderly Little Red Riding Hood.
If you call me elderly again, I'm going to kill you.
Into the woods where Muriel Gage is 50 years. Do ba da boop 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 do do boop do do. All right, next one. Here we go.
I don't know.
This is Pretty Lady from Pacific Overtures.
Yes.
This song is awesome. I love this
I know
song.
It's one of your favorites. This was clearly I set you up for success with this
I know
one.
With this one because I don't know how many I would I can tell what's from Pacific Overtures, but a lot of the time I'm not exactly sure which song it is.
Yeah.
But Pacific Overtures is kind of about the like invasion of Japan by Britain way back in the day when it was still like its own preserved thing. And so
what do you mean its own preserved thing?
It was just like a...
Are you talking about Japan?
Japan was closed off to other cultures for a very long time.
Oh.
If I remember correctly from trying to learn about this musical. Now, don't quote me on this. But essentially, like, when... It was just not one of those... It was not... For a long time...
They didn't trade with people.
They were, like, very self-sufficient on this island.
Yeah.
And then when Britain came, you know, there was a... There's so much complicated shit about it. I can't even like there's opium and all this kind of stuff that was happening, but you don't want to. It's what it is. I'm not going to get into it because I'm going to say something dumb because it's complicated history.
Okay, yeah.
But essentially this is a metaphor for the show. So at this point in Pretty Lady, which maybe we should play a little piece of because it's beautiful, but essentially it's three British soldiers who find the daughter of a samurai in a garden.
Yeah.
And they are mistaking her for a geisha.
Right.
So they think they can buy her time.
Yeah.
She's very beautiful and they don't know the difference in the makeup and like who they're talking to.
Yeah.
And so these three soldiers are trying to enter this garden and really wanting to buy her time. They're like, we'll pay.
They're like trying to be really respectful, right?
They are. And they're like, you don't have to do anything. We just want to see you be here, but let me stay. Let me stay. I want to pay to stay, which is essentially like a metaphor for the whole, you know, opening your borders thing. Uh-huh. And at the very end of this beautiful song, her dad pops out and kills everybody with the samurai sword.
The boys.
Yeah, which is pretty fucking tight.
All right, here, let's listen to them.
There's a nice lady.
Much obliged.
Pretty lady in the pretty garden can't just stand. Pretty lady, we got leave and we got pie to die. Pretty lady with the flower, give a lonely sailor half an hour. Pretty lady, can you understand a word I say? Don't go away.
Pretty lady, you're the cleanest thing I've seen all year. I sailed the world for you.
Pretty lady, you're enough. Make me glad I'm here.
Lady, I'm a million times a step
for I don't know how long.
Why the soft
or how long I've been without it.
Tales of it.
Come on now. So pretty.
Yeah.
And like when you think about these people who are well-meaning, but just being like, please, please, please. And you're like, no, dude, that's not a geisha. That's another girl.
Yeah, right.
That's a samurai's daughter. Like, you know, the shit that's like looming.
Yeah.
I think that is. And this is one cool thing about this show.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say something again. Don't hold me to it.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it has the gist of correctness. There's... oh my God, I'm going to try to say this.
Okay.
So this musical is really interesting because in like Eastern and Western music and like music from Japan, I believe it's a 12-tone scale.
Mm-hmm.
And then like for like traditional Western music, it's an 8-tone scale. And so whatever it is, the difference between the two, the whole score that Sondheim wrote is in a 12-tone scale. So there's this another structure to the music that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think that listening to it was really, it's super fascinating. If you want to listen to somebody who's like of the American musical tradition, trying to explore something with like a different,
mm-hmm.
like in a different realm of music. And I think it was a really bold thing. And it was super interesting and like a great example of content dictates form. It's like, I want to write a story. I want to write a musical about like the like British introduction to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very cool musical for that. It's just really interesting. Anyway.
Freaking Muriel dropping knowledge bombs.
I know,
here.
But I think maybe half of that information is like semi-correct.
Okay, great. Here's the next one. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
There we'd stay until the curtain fell.
Yeah, I got it. This is from Follies.
Uh-huh.
The curtain fell, then all hell broke. Girls, da 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 da.
What?
Okay, so this is from Follies.
Yeah.
We've talked about this show before. This is about like the Follies, the big show that was happening in New York that everybody wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
And it's like a review and it has dancers. And Follies is the reunion show when everyone's like in their 80s and they're going back to see like see each other again for the first time. So this is a man who's singing about what it was like backstage at the Follies, because he was a player who used to be able to bribe the doorman to get him backstage.
Uh-huh.
And then he would wait for his dates.
Uh-huh.
And he would sit there and wait. Like, he's like, there were girls everywhere, the most beautiful girls in the world who weren't quite dressed, who were running like after the show, changing backstage, doing this thing. And he had a girlfriend who was in the Follies, and he would just sit there and wait and wait and wait for her to come downstairs. And the whole joke of the song is like, it's all the older people singing like what it used to be like.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, they're just like it was so exhausting to be like that. Like yeah. where they're like fighting over where they're going to go to dance. And like yeah. now they're going to make them wait because that's the game they're playing. And like, you know, it's just yeah. like, so he's like at the end, we were just like, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't do this.
Do you remember the name of the song?
Is it Quartet? What is it?
It's called Waiting for the Girls Upstairs.
Oh yeah. Waiting around for the girls upstairs. La, 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 la. Very young and very intense.
Very? Is that the lyric? Very yeah, young and very intense. That's hilarious. Just talking shit. It's so great. All right, you want to do some more?
Hell yeah, I want to do some more. Got it.
Boom. Now, those are some opening notes you recognize. That's a good one. I didn't even do that on purpose. That was an accident.
Yes, now an invitation. Yes, who delivered by hand? Oh, da, 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 da. Very engraved and very grand. Okay, so this is what happened.
Wait, what show is it from?
It's from A Little Night Music. And
what's the name of the song?
A Weekend in the Country.
A Weekend in the Country. What a marvelous, what a marvelous thing. A Weekend in the Country.
So basically what happened was... This lady has a lover and he is cheating on his wife with this lady. She's like an incredible actress, right? So the actress has a lover who has a wife and he always cheats on his wife. And now he has this new lover. And so he's like very committed to his lover and his wife. Now his lover has another lover, right? A different guy. And that guy she had a baby with. She used to date him. And he... also has a wife. So she's been cheating with two married men, right? And then she's like this actress who's really famous. Now, the other thing about this actress is that her mother is very rich. She's a super, super rich person. She owns a chalet out in the countryside.
Is that a property?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what the hell it is. It's like a big estate, essentially, out in the country. And so... to kind of reconcile the whole thing, this actress invites everyone to the chalet in the country. And the thing about that is that all the wives know the husbands are cheating with this actress, but everyone just goes and they all convince each other to go. So it's this amazing song where they all come together and they decide, I'm going to accept this invitation and I'm going to go out to the country. And so it ends up being the actress, her two lovers, their wives, and then plus like any like flotsam and jetsam, other people that are like in the circle.
Right.
And then it's going to be a disastrous week in the country. And it's a badass song.
It's very good. Apparently it was... Sondheim's first hummable song, because he's, you know, gets all this flack for not having like hummable songs or whatever, and it was the first act closer, and it was the first time that he had been in the intermission of one of his shows, like in the wherever they go out to get drinks and use bathrooms, and people were actually humming his songs.
Oh,
and he was like, oh, that's what people meant by that.
Yeah,
like, weekend in the country,
how inviting, how I wish we'd last. Yeah. That's the best part. Like the guy, one of the guys hears, so one guy gets an invitation to it. That's actually true. So one guy gets an invitation to the weekend. And then his wife goes up to the other lover and says like, oh my God, you are never going to believe what just happened. Guess who got an invitation? Guess what begins with an A? Ah, yes. You know, like they're joking around. She says, you know, he got an invitation to this weekend. How stupid is that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, a weekend in the country sounds delightful. And then his wife says, I wish we'd been asked. And he goes, a weekend in the country, we'll go masked. A weekend in the country. Like, he decides he's going to go.
Yeah.
And she goes, they'll consider it odd. A weekend in the country, I'm delighted. And then she goes, oh my God. and it's like, she can see her husband hyping himself up.
Because, right, because he knows if the other guy goes, then his wife will go who he's sleeping with.
Right, and he goes,
And the shooting will be pleasant if the weather's not too rough. Happy birthday. It's your present. You haven't been getting out nearly enough.
So he's acting like he's doing his wife a favor.
Right, for like going to see his lover. Yeah, he's right. The biggest shithead in the world. It's so funny. It's a really great show.
All right, y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
The gym, then to a fitting.
Stop. Claiming they're fat. Does anyone still wear a hat? Okay, this is Ladies Who Lunch from Company.
Yes.
This song is so epic. It's so great. And it's just about like, so in Company, right, this is about a young bachelor who dates a lot and has a lot of married friends. And he's the darling of the group, right?
Which is also, by the way, hilarious because he's 35 and they're just like, oh my God, he's so old at this point.
He could never get married.
And they're all also supposed to be 35, but they're acting like 50.
Yeah, it's a very strange, age is a strange thing, especially when you're talking about something that was made in the 70s and like now we're like, what?
Yeah, totally.
But it's, so this boy, this man, this 35-year-old man, is Bobby is like the king of Shit Mountain. His friends love him. He's like, you know, this guy, and he's trying to decide whether or not he wants to get married or is it necessary?
Yeah.
And there's another woman who's parallel to him, and her name is Joanne, and she's the oldest of the group.
Right. Yeah.
And she's been married 4 times.
Yeah.
And divorced. And she's married to her 4th husband at the time. And tries to seduce Bobby during this thing. She's like, let's just have an affair.
Yeah.
You know, look, like, I don't want to be married to you. You don't want to be married to me. Let's just have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the catalyst for him having this sort of breakdown about, like, is that what I want?
Right.
You know, and seeing it in such bald terms.
Right.
You know, coming to terms with that.
Right. Because up until that point, he's always kind of like, I'm ready to marry. Right. No, I'll get married tomorrow. If I meet the right girl. I meet girls all the time. I'd love to get married.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's just faced with, if I choose not to go down to like this path, what's the other path? You know?
Right. And also having an affair with this woman would be like an intimacy with someone who he actually has a relationship with.
Right.
Which is completely unfamiliar, scary territory for him.
Right. Right. And so then Joanne just talks about what it's like to be this kept woman in this high society place where she's always, regardless of the partner she has, she's always in the same social circle, right? So it's called the Ladies Who Lunch. It's like, here's to the ladies that lunch. Everybody laugh. You know, calling a brunch on your own behalf.
Yeah.
First to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming you're fat. And looking grim while you're sitting, wearing a hat. Does anybody still wear a hat? And then it's in this great, like, bossa nova.
Right, tone. Yeah. Here, I'll play another clip. Yeah. It's really good.
I'll drink to that. She's always drunk, too.
Here's to the girls who stay smart. Aren't they a gas? Rushing to their classes in optical art. Wishing it would pass.
Right, so it's sort of like the this is hilarious.
Another $1,000. A matinee, a Pinter play, perhaps a piece of Mahler's. I'll drink to that. And one for Mahler.
Yeah, so it's sort of just about like the malaise of being this upper middle class. You know, I mean, she's also singing as an older woman looking back at a group of younger women who are doing what she did when she was their age.
Yeah. And she's bored.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and it's beautiful. Like it really gets to this great point. And a part of this is just like, I get drunk to cope. I just, you know, I don't have anything else to do. I'll drink to that.
Right.
And by the end of the thing, here's to the girls on the go. Everybody tries. Look into their eyes and you'll see what they know. Everybody dies. A toast to the invincible bunch. The dinosaurs surviving the crunch. Let's hear it for the ladies who lunch. Everybody rise. You know, it's yeah, great. Yeah,
it's yeah. so good.
Because I don't think she's actually talking about younger people. I think she's talking about the dinosaurs. Like she's like, the ladies who lunch have just been in it.
Sure.
We've been in it. Sure, we know what it is. You know, and I do really like, I think it's really fun. Bongo Italiano.
All right. Here, this one I just want to hear you talk about because I think you're cool when you talk about it.
George, where did you go, George?
I know you're near, George. I've crossed your eyes, George. I have a surprise, George. Okay, this one's epic.
Yeah, what's right? it called?
Everybody Loves Louie.
What show is it from?
Sunday in the Park with George.
Yes.
And this song is about, she's basically like, I found this guy. He's like super into me. You're a painter. He's a baker and he spends his money on me. And he's kind of like, you go, and in bed, George, you know, he needs me like dog, George. Like
that. Yeah.
You know, it's very like, I'm settling for this kind of big hunk of a guy.
Right.
Because he'll take care of me.
Right.
Everybody loves Louis. Louis's sweet and he's kind. Everybody loves Louis. Louis's lovable. Yeah. Since we never know, do we? Who we're going to find? And Louis the baker is not what I had in mind. But Louis's cakes are an artist. You know,
like, yeah, right. Yeah. She's like, am I going to be with you, this impenetrable painter genius / complete asshole who pretty much has no place for me in his life, or am I gonna go out with this baker who makes really good cakes, like people really, he's like good and he's nice,
he's like an artist,
yeah,
like you're an artist and he needs me in bed like dough. That line always is just like, he's like, I love ya honey.
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell if she likes being needed.
No,
like
she definitely doesn't.
She definitely doesn't. No. Okay.
I can help with that.
Okay, thanks. Wow, sometimes you just need a lady to really set things straight.
That's
you know?
True, actually.
All right. Pretty
God,
much
this
always.
This guy is trying to murder me. Okay, we're switching it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do some for you.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. So what am I trying to just guess it and then wax poetically on it.
You guess it and then say what show it's from.
Okay.
And then talk about why you either like it or don't like
it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, ready?
I'm scared. Okay, I know this one. This one's obvious. Okay, Muriel set me up for success on this one. This is I'm Not Getting Married Today. It's from Company.
Uh-huh.
And it's really funny. So basically, like, if you heard that beginning, like church chord stuff, it's like, bless this dance for Amy. So it's basically like church music. It's basically church music, like presenting this husband and wife who are about to be married in this like holy, you know, setting. And then it cuts to the wife, Amy, who is, you know, where she's getting ready for the wedding. Like her husband hasn't seen her yet. So she's alone in her dress. And she's completely freaking out and getting entirely nervous about getting married. And she's getting like cold feet times a million. Like she wants to pull the plug and it's all her insecurities. And this is a great content dictates form thing because it's a lady going crazy. So she just starts rapping really, really fast. And then she starts listing everything she hates. And then her husband doesn't want to get married today, but I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. Thank you, mom, but I'm getting married today. Like,
bless this bride. Totally insane, slipping down the drain.
You could try to give me some of her lyrics. I could try to do them, but I don't know it enough. But it is
well, maybe
very
that might
funny,
be kind of fun.
And it's one of those particularly like the Beans songs from Into the Woods. It's like, okay, Stephen Sondheim knows how to write some raps, you know.
I was looking through a book, but that's very funny that you said that.
Okay, thanks.
All right, you're reading Amy.
Oh, and you gave me the book. Nice.
Well, you can't remember that.
No,
can
I can't
you?
Remember that. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to try to
this
do
is
this.
Amy.
Pardon me, is everybody here? Because if everybody's here, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate you. Oh, fuck. I'd appreciate your going even more. I mean, you must have been lots of better things to do. And it's not a word of Paul. Remember, Paul, you know, the man I'm going to marry, but I'm not. I can't read it.
It's faster than that. Ready?
It's yeah. It's like pardon me. Is
wait, hold on. Okay. It's okay. Wait, hold on.
Pardon me, is everybody here? Because if everybody's here, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate you more even going in. I mean, you know, other things to do. Not really word to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know, the man I'm not going to marry, but I'm not because I wouldn't ruin this as wonderful as he is. But I want to thank you all. The gifts and the flowers, thank you all. But as now going back to the showers, don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Bless this day. Tragedy of life. Husband born to wife.
Husband born to wife.
You took the book away from me. I don't remember that shit. Hey, there's an incredible documentary about the making of that, the cast recording, and it's Sondheim working with all these incredible actors actually doing the Broadway recording in the studio. It's an amazing documentary. Today is for Amy.
All right, I'm going to play you one last song.
All right.
But mainly, I think you're going to get it, but I also am going to then maybe make you try to sing it.
Okay, great.
It's because of you there's a giant in our midst and my wife is dead.
Okay, well, it's definitely from Into the Woods. Is it the Your Fault thing?
And is it my fault? I was given those beans. You persuaded me to trade away my cow for beans. And without those beans, there'd have been no stalk to get up to the giants in the first place. Wait a minute, magic beans for a cow. So
yeah, okay, we talked about this in one of the last you told. Were they Sondheim parties. Were they so, I can't sing this.
Should I do beans instead?
I mean, I can't do either of those. Yeah, let's try to do the beans one.
Okay, but let me set that up. I'm just trying to set Nick up for all the rapping ones.
Okay, great. Well, I will try to rap along with beans, but I'm going to need the music playing in the background and to be able to look at the lyrics. So I will attempt that. I mean, for the record, I did have the lyrics in front of me for the Not Getting Married Today, and I couldn't do that at all.
She took one look at my beautiful garden and told your father that what she wanted
more than anything in the world was greens, and nothing but greens. Parsley, peppers, cabbages, and celery, asparagus, and watercress, and fiddleses, and lettuce. He said, all right. But it wasn't quite, because I caught them in the middle of the garden one night. He was robbing me, raping me, rooting through my rutabaga, reading my arugula, ripping up my repinion, my champion, my favorite. I should have fell on him right there. Could have turned him down, or a dog, or a chair, or a champion. I let him despair. In return, however, I said fair is fair. You can let me have the baby that your wife will bear, and we'll call it square.
I had a brother?
No.
But you had a sister.
But the witch refused to tell him any more of his sister. Not even that her name was Rapunzel.
When you guys picture me rapping this next part, I want you to envision Muriel doing D12's Purple Pills on karaoke night.
Now you have to do it a cappella.
Beans, the special beans. I let him go. I didn't know he'd stolen my beans. I was watching him crawl back over the wall and bang, crash in the lightning flash. And well, that's another story. Never mind. Anyway, alas, the big day came and I made my claim. Oh, don't take my way, the baby. They shrieked and screeched and I did and I hid. Where should never be reached. And your father cried, and your mother cried. When for extra measure I admit it was a pleasure, I said sorry. I'm still unmollified, and I laid a little spell on them. And you too, son, that your family tree will always be a barren one. So there's no more fests, and there's no more scenes, and my garden thrives. You should see my nectarines, and I'm telling you the same. I'll tell the kings and queens, don't ever, ever, ever mess around with my greens. Especially the beans.
There he goes. sassy witch. You motherfucker. You won that battle. Good job. There's nothing I like more than Nick and musicals.
Okay, great. Well, just as a surprise, I have one final challenge for you, my love.
Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo. Come on, Muriel. You got this.
All right, here we go. Okay. But I might not be able to do it. Okay. And they're singing it. I'm not going to sing the hook.
You don't know this part? You don't know this
part? It doesn't matter, man.
Yes, it does.
No, because they'll change it. Shit, you know? I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
Ready? Cool calm, just like my mom, with a couple of volume inside her paws. Mr. Mischief with a trick up his sleeve. All up on you like Christopher Reeve. I can't describe the vibe I get when I drive by six people and five I hit. Oh, shit. I started a mosh pit. Mosh the kids and lost the foster kids. Make me hallucinate. Then I start to start losing weight. Till I see dumb shit start acting. Oh no! So bounce, bounce, come on, bounce. I said, come on, bounce. Everybody in the house with a half an ounce. Alright, that's it.
That was pretty good. What about the Bizarro verse?
Stop, stop. Oh wait, which one is that? I can't do
it. Jump for real. So good. Muriel, that was incredible.
Well, if you felt like really impressed by that, just remember my dad is more impressed than you are right now.
Thank you for listening.
You guys are incredible. And, you know, good luck coming up on this new year right ahead of us.
We think about you every single day. And I hope that you have the best, you know, holiday season ever, man. And if that means eating lots of breakfast sandwiches, which is what I'm going to do, then more power to you.
Breakfast sandwiches, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, baby.
I love an egg sandwich.
Hey, leave us voicemails. Email us, hellinyour30s@gmail.com. All of our contact information is the show note, are in the show notes of this episode. We'd love to hear from
we
you.
We would love it. Okay, bye. Bye.
I'm Brian Husky. I'm bald.
And I'm Charlie Sanders, and I'm also bald. And we host Bald Talk on the Campfire Media Network.
Bald Talk is the podcast where two bald comedians talk to anyone bald about being bald.
But this show isn't just for baldies, Brian. Harrows will love it too.
Bald Talk gets into vulnerability, vanity, insecurity, and self-acceptance, reminding us that we all have our respective bald spots. Not that bald spots are a bad thing.
No way. I mean, my entire head is one big bald spot.
It is one huge, beautiful bald spot, Charlie.
Get Bald Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I have like a little bit of hair, but not like you. Like, you're really bald.
I'm truly bald.
Great. I mean, it's
I'm
great.
Balder than it. You.
You are balder than me. Only on Bald Talk.
Campfire.